The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Greetings and welcome into this edition of ESPN FC. I'm Sebastian Salazar. Great to have you with us. Plenty to get to, but only one place to start. Spurs hosting Chelsea in the Premier League. And it's Chelsea away from home getting a 1-0 win. The only goal in the match from the penalty spot. Jorginho converts as Chelsea picks up three big points. That moves them up to sixth in the table. 4 points out of the top four. Spurs still stuck in eighth. Joining us for more, Jurgen Klinsmann and Don Hutchison. Jurgen, I'll start with you. Every time we evaluate Spurs of late, I feel like the first question is, were Spurs bad or was their opponent good? How do you break it down today?
Well, you know me, I try to keep everything positive when it's about Spurs, but I have to be honest, today it's really difficult, especially the first 45 minutes, the first half, Chelsea completely outplayed Spurs. And then they got the lead with the penalty kick from Jorginho, well-deserved lead. Spurs never created anything in the first 45 minutes. I mean, their front line with Son, with Vinicius, Bergwijn was pretty much not on the field. And then it got a little bit more even in the second half. I think Chelsea should have been a little bit more clinical, more decisive. They could have scored a second or a third one. They didn't do that, and that brought Spurs the last couple of minutes of the game back in the game. And they almost scored with Vinicius. He almost had the equalizing header. Then it would have been 1-1, and everybody would have asked, well, it's not so bad. But I think it was a clearly well-deserved Chelsea win. Obviously, that takes Spurs now far away from the top spot where Man City sits. I think it's now 14 points or something, which makes a lot of Spurs fans really unhappy today. But compliments to Chelsea.
Don, Spurs fans undoubtedly unhappy, but also watching this game, they just must be so frustrated.
Yeah, it was a hard watch, Sebi. I mean, Jose tried to waffle after the Brighton game by saying his team dug in the second half and they showed a bit of spirit and a little bit of fight. I didn't see any spirit and fight in the first half. Okay, I thought the last 15, Tottenham had a go, but that was more in desperation. I thought the tactics from Jose was off. Thomas Tuchel played three at the back and Reece James had too much space. Him and Hudson-Odoi had Ben Davis in 2v1s too many times. Son not tracking back. And I think it was only Chelsea taking their foot off the gas in the first half. They could have been out of sight. They could have been 2 or 3 if they really wanted to. But they thought, well, there's no pressure on us. There's no real drama. We're winning 1-0. Life is cozy. We'll just keep hold of the ball. And when you do that in the Premier League and you win 1-0, anyone can get back into a game. But not great if you're a Spurs fan watching that.
Jurgen, Jose Mourinho must be doing this for a reason. Is it because Spurs players aren't good enough to go toe-to-toe with Chelsea or because he doesn't have faith in them? I mean, you can look at the team today and without Harry Kane, I do question if they're good enough to play toe-to-toe with the Chelsea.
Well, it's a good question. I mean, obviously, from a fan perspective, you wonder, you know, why Gareth Bale, you know, is not coming on. What about Dele Alli now, since he didn't get a move away now in the transfer window? You know, you're wondering, you know, who can substitute, obviously, Harry Kane for these couple of occasions. But definitely, when you play at home, you want to see a Spurs side going forward. You want to see a Spurs side, you know, put high pressure on, create chances, create excitement. Because Spurs football has always been about excitement, about creating chances and entertaining the fans. And that was not the case, obviously, today. So it's difficult to have arguments then. And I mean, if it wasn't for the fact that Chelsea didn't use their opportunities, then it's also in the second half, they had a couple of counter breaks. They could have finished it off with a second and third goal. You know, it could be a much more worse result, you know, than it at the end of the day it was with a 1-0.
But Don, I mean, to play devil's advocate here, Mourinho's game plan almost works to perfection, doesn't it? I mean, they're in the match until the end. If it is Harry Kane instead of Vinicius there, you take Spurs to walk away with a point.
No, I can't say it would have worked to perfection. Even if Spurs had a score late on, that would have been Chelsea kicking themselves. I understand if they got a point out of the game, it looks good. But when you watch the balance of play and you watch it unfold from minute one, You know, Spurs were way off. I mean, I was watching Højbjerg, and Højbjerg is not the best footballer in the world, but what he is, he's aggressive, he gets in people's faces, he stops people playing, he wins a lot of balls back in midfield, and then he feeds the front men and the wide men. He almost played like a quarterback tonight. He's not as good as a footballer as Jorginho, so I was questioning why he was so deep trying to start off all the moves. And him and Sissoko in midfield, you know, they're not the greatest pairing in the world, but what you ask from them to, if you're Jose, you ask them to get tight to Jorginho, you get them tight to Kovacic, and you stop them two from playing. They almost just played like a basketball game, Tottenham. Højbjerg and Sissoko sat off Chelsea's two, and they said, well, when you get the ball, you can pick a pass. When we get the ball, we'll try and play, but then they're not as good as them two. So why wouldn't Tottenham's midfield two just go and go toe-to-toe and go really stand on Kovacic and Jorginho and stop them from playing? Then you can build from there, and you've got a bit of a base, and you can press, and you can make the game ugly. But it was just too easy from Chelsea's point of view.
Let's give Chelsea some credit then. Let's talk about the team that actually won this match. Thomas Tuchel, you're going to be in charge for 8 days. Maybe I'm exaggerating, but are we already starting to see some of that impact seep in? And if so, how much credit does he deserve for not just doing it, but doing it quickly?
Well, he deserves definitely credit. I mean, you know, you get this win away from home, and it's not easy jumping in the middle of the season and get to know everybody, you know, put a little bit your hands on things. So it will take a little bit of time, but you could see the team was very, very motivated. There was a great movement off the ball all over the field from the Chelsea players. So they try to really connect well. I thought that the front line, Mason Mount played a very, very good game. Timo Werner tried to be all over the place. It was a bit unlucky. He could have actually finished with a nice opportunity there. So they were looking for each other. Even the fact that Thiago needed to leave the field because of injury didn't kind of interfere with their rhythm. So it seems to start well for Thomas Tuchel, and obviously they understand the fact that, you know, they badly need points, like Spurs as well, in order to get into the top four there, because that's the ultimate. I mean, that's the minimum of the goal that these teams have, is to get into the Champions League spot. So now gotta give him credit.
Don, Chelsea maybe not clinical today. Anything else to complain about in their performance?
No, I thought they played well, Sabi. I really did. Three clean sheets for Thomas Tuchel, so ideal start. The Wolves game, when he'd only been through the door for 48 hours, was a little bit difficult to try and judge. It was a boring game, 0-0, but, you know, the last two games have been good. They could have scored more, as Jürgen said. It was just that final ball when Kovacic raced through and he had a little ball to Mason Mount, who's right-hand side. He could have slipped him in. But trying to get used to the players and getting to know the players and getting to know his best system and his best individuals. He's brought people like Marcus Alonso back, who was nowhere near the first team. He's bringing players back into the squad and certainly the starting 11, so he's got a good squad to choose from. And you have to say, you know, a few days into his reign, three clean sheets, he's done a great job.
At the post-match, we heard Jose Mourinho kind of summing up the match, and he said this basically just comes down to a penalty, and that's the only difference in this game. Don, what is Eric Dier thinking when he's on the ground there scrambling to, I don't know, try to do what against Timo Werner?
Yeah, the problem is, Seb, he's not thinking, because he must have knew that Timo Werner was around him. And as Jose in his interview was saying, and he was frustrated because he was sort of alluding to that it was just a nothing penalty. But I think what Jose was saying, it was a penalty, but he was saying it was a nothing penalty from Eric Dier to give away. It wasn't like Timo Werner was bearing down on goal and he was just about to pull the trigger and it was a tap-in finish. He was, you know, on the angle, from distance. There was no need to give the penalty away. He was on the floor, so I loosely sort of stay on your feet, but you know what I mean. Just don't make a tackle and hope that you've got a covering defender that's going to get you out of trouble. And Jose will look back at that, and as Jose does, he tries to spin one or two things. His team got completely outplayed in the first half, but he'll try and spin it, and he'll just say it's just the penalty. It was more than that. And then he'll say, well, Vinicius could have scored at the end and we could have got something out of the game. So somehow Jose tries to drag some sort of positives out of a bad performance. He's done exactly the same against Brighton last week, and he's done it again tonight.
Jürgen, isn't that just the problem? Like, we hear Jose Mourinho after these games and he always focuses on the individual mistakes, but that gives him a pass. Then we never discuss what Jose Mourinho is doing tactically.
Well, obviously he's magical in finding explanations and analyzing things, and he's not wrong either, you know, because obviously, you know, they had a chance in the last 2 minutes, you know, could have scored, it would have finished and possibly 1-1. But the biggest task now for Jose really is to get this team up in the table of the league, you know, how to get this team in the Final Four, because Tottenham fans, I mean, not only that they dreamed about, obviously, the championship in the beginning of the season or the first couple of months, the must to do is to get into Champions League again. And right now they are far away from the Champions League spots. So you got to create a certain positive vibe there within your squad. You got to get everybody back on track, and you have to figure out how to score goals and how to get forward, you know, and how to obviously get the players behind you. Because, I mean, if you look at the body language of Gareth Bale there on the sideline, or Dele Alli not coming in at all, those are big players, and you need to handle them. You need to keep them basically with you. And sooner or later, hopefully, they can come in and make a difference. But that was not today, unfortunately, the case.
Don, I feel like we've kind of seen this movie before. The team is fading. Mourinho's talking about everything else but the football on the pitch. Is the magic gone?
I don't think the magic's gone. It's certainly fading, Sebi. I don't think he's got the squad to try and get anywhere near the title, even though they were sitting top of the league at one point, but many teams have sat top of the league this season. He's trying to work his magic. He's trying to work something that I just don't see is going to happen for him. I think the biggest worry, I think, for Tottenham fans is then what happens at the end of the season. If this is a season where they've won no trophies, I wonder what Son does. I wonder what Harry Kane does. I wonder if they really think about, you know, starting to win some serious trophies. So I think the magic's still in Jose. Just how on earth he's going to try and get the magic into this Tottenham side, because at the minute they are way off. If you think of where Man City are, and I know Guardiola's been there a few years and he spent a lot of money, but Tottenham are a million miles away from where City are.
Don, we know what he's not going to do. He's not going to play Gareth Bale, and he's not going to play Dele Alli, as Jurgen mentioned. Why? Why still? Clearly this team's down one goal again. They need goals, and he's not using either of these two guys.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've got no idea. I mean, what I would say is, from a player's point of view, I think, you know, Dele Alli needs to do a lot more. I think he needs to come in for training early. He needs to work hard. He needs to convince Jose. Sometimes, you know, it's not always the manager's fault. Players have to look at themselves. If Dele Alli, and Jose called him a terrible trainer. When Jose done that documentary, he said to Dele Alli, "You're a terrible trainer." Now, if someone said that about me, I would be absolutely furious. Not at the manager. I'd be furious at it myself. And I'd look at myself in the mirror and think, does Jose Mourinho think I'm a terrible trainer? I'm going to prove him wrong. I'm going to come in early. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to be the last one away. And when I get game time, I'm going to convince the manager that I'm not a terrible trainer and I'm a good professional and I'm worthy of placing this squad. I don't think Dele Alli's done that. Gareth Bale is just a real strange scenario that I think Daniel Levy's more or less said to Jose, "Here, Jose, there's Gareth Bale," and Jose's gone, "No thanks," doesn't fancy him, whether he's fit or not. But surely, even in the last 10 minutes of a game, you might just throw Gareth Bale on. You might just try and get him on. You might have a free kick. You might have a moment of magic. Surely, Gareth Bale at the moment is not completely finished.
Don, has Bale done anything so far that you've seen that makes you think he could be that difference maker?
No, I haven't. I haven't, to be honest. I mean, you can say just Wickham, but he played quite well in the Wickham game. But that doesn't have any standings for what you do in the Premier League. So again, you know, you've got to work hard. You know, me and Jurgen have been pros. We all go through dips in our career, and we all have injuries, and we've all bounced back when you've been really low. And only Gareth Bale knows how fit he is, Sebi. I think that's the problem. We're trying to judge Gareth Bale on where he was 4 or 5 years ago. Now, he's not played at Real Madrid for an awful long time, so his injury record suggests that he's not match fit, and he's probably carrying one or two knocks, and he probably hasn't got the confidence to go high-speed running as he used to do. So he's probably playing at something like 85-90%. You cannot do that in the Premier League. You will not get Premier League starts under Jose Mourinho if you're not 100% fit. He plays people like Sissoko, and he plays people like Højbjerg, because he knows he'll go to the well, and they'll, you know, blood, sweat and tears. That's what Jose wants. I'm not sure Dele Alli and I'm not sure Gareth Bale have got that in them.
Jurgen, Don mentioned something interesting there. We know Spurs are obsessed with a trophy. Let's say they go on and win a League Cup under Mourinho. If you're a player like Kane, if you're a player like Son, is that enough to keep you around playing this way?
No, it's not enough. Obviously, a trophy is a trophy, and it's something wonderful for everyone. But the League Cup is not the trophy that you're really aiming for. You want to win the championship, or you want to win the Champions League. You know, FA Cup obviously is very prestigious in England, but But I think Don made a very, very good point. It's down to the players as well. We always discuss Jose, what he's doing here, what he's doing there. But at the end of the day, it's the hunger and the drive of the players that creates something special. And now they're in a difficult situation. They're far away from spot number one in the league. And everybody is looking for a reaction. So it is really now down to the players to prove the point, to be maybe a little bit more verbal, going out, being just clear that, you know, that they are not happy about themselves, you know, and to prove that on the training pitch with the coaching staff, with everyone else. So they badly need a reaction now, because otherwise this could turn into a very, very negative time period for Spurs.
Jurgen, thank you very much. Don, thank you as well. Don, not sure what you're doing in your spare time. Clearly, it's not writing articles for our website like Jurgen. You can check it out over on the website, his latest on Thomas Tuchel taking over at Chelsea.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Make sure to check out the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. Don Hutchison joins the crew. They talk Liverpool, Brighton, Inter, Juve, plus Neymar's future. Not sure how much VAR they got into, but don't worry, we've saved this segment of the show just for that. Don is back with us. Alejandro Moreno joins us as well. So does Shaka Hislop. All right, let's start at the very beginning, right? Plenty of VAR controversies to discuss in recent weeks. The FA has overturned Jan Bednarek's red card from Southampton's 9-0 loss against Manchester United the other day. Don, you were tweeting about this. You said the red card was ridiculous. You spelled ridiculous wrong, but at least the FA got it right, yeah?
Well, there's no surprise there, because I was that fuming. I couldn't get it away quick enough. Sebi, it was one of them. Honestly, it was. It was ridiculous. I was doing the comms on the game, and it just leaves you as a co-commentator thinking after the game you've had an absolute nightmare, because I called Che Adams, he was onside, and when VAR give him offside, I was thinking, well, I've got that one wrong. But I knew I hadn't, because I trust my eyes and I know what I see. Che Adams was onside. And then when Bednarek tried to pull out of the tackle of Martial, who, by the way, dived, he should have got a yellow card for simulation. It was just the most ridiculous decision from Mike Dean. He then goes to VAR. VAR never once give him the shot of it in real time. They give him two or three slow motions of it. Then the VAR froze on Mike Dean, and he still give a red card and a penalty. And you're sitting there as a commentator and you're calling it, going, Martial's hit the floor there. This can't be a penalty. This can't be a sending off. And the officials give the penalty, give the sending off, and you just think, I don't know what's happening. Right. You just get so frustrated.
Yeah, Shaka, I wonder if we're talking about a VAR issue or a Mike Dean issue, because he goes over to the monitor and sees something that I think most of the rest of us still haven't seen.
I think it's a Mike Dean issue. I firmly believe that the VAR, in his instructions to the referee, should be no more than whoever it is, in this case, Mike Dean, go over and have another look at this incident. I know that's not how it happens. VAR is tasked with a whole lot more. But I think in this instance, it worked or seemed to have been working the way it should. The VAR said to the referee on the field, go over, have a look, and make your own decision. Mike Dean did exactly that. How he comes away from that, thinking that was a red card, is simply beyond me. So this, for me, is entirely on the referee on the park, Mike Dean, VAR. Maybe for once, doesn't get any blame at all.
All right, well, Southampton, obviously and understandably upset. The BBC reporting that they've asked that Mike Dean and Lee Mason, they've had some controversial calls, both obviously in the United match, previous to that, Aston Villa, go against them, that neither of those two officials referee any of their matches in the near future. Ale, what do you think, smart or sour grapes?
Well, first of all, can I just say that it's not mutually exclusive when you say Don is mentioning that he doesn't know what he's talking about because VAR overturned the calls or didn't overturn the calls. Those are two separate things. Don doesn't know what he's talking about, but that's separate. That's one thing. That's one issue that we have to deal with on the side. Now, in terms of VAR, in terms of Mike Dean, in terms of Southampton, in terms of their petition and saying, we don't want to deal with these referees, I don't know what you gain from this. I suppose that it gives you some sense of security if Lee Mason and Mike Dean are not refereeing the matches. But when the game ends up 9-0, I don't quite believe that Mike Dean was the issue here for Southampton. There may have been some bigger issues in this particular game, in this particular sequence, because let's just say that red card didn't exactly change the game.
Mm. Oh, come on, Ali. Of course it changed the game. Put Southampton down to 9 men.
And what was the score at that time?
Well, the Southampton players were just—they just didn't know what was going on. It was outrageous. You can't say it didn't change the game, as in it wouldn't change the result of 3 points. But Ralph Hasenhüttl's men wouldn't have come away losing 9-0. I'm pretty sure of that.
Well. 8-0.
Oh, I'm sorry. They would have lost just 6-0. Oh, okay. Well, then in that case, it's fine, guys. We did a great job tonight. We're proud of the effort we put out here on the field. Come on now.
You know what it's like, Ali. You've been a player. You know what it's like when you go down to 9 men and you see one of your players get sent off when you're a player and you're watching the ludicrous dive from Martial. And if you were Bednarek's partner, Jack Stevens, and you're seeing your mate getting sent off, and even Bednarek, put yourself in Bednarek's situation, when actually Martial was alleged to have said to him, it wasn't a penalty, mate, it wasn't a penalty, then you've got to walk off the pitch taking a red card. Down to 9 men.
My point is that Southampton was in trouble already. This penalty and this red card did not change that Southampton were terrible on the day.
No, I get that. I totally understand that. And you're right. They were in trouble since minute one when the young boy got sent off. They were bang in trouble.
What do you make of Southampton's move here? Fair play?
I'm still trying to make sense of Don having a full-on discussion and disagreement with himself. It didn't change the game. It did not change the outcome of the game.
No, it didn't change the outcome of the game, but it would have changed the outcome of the scoreline. You wouldn't have wanted to be on the end of a 9-0, Shaka.
unless Mike Dean was about to overturn 6 goals, that's not a discussion.
Well, so you wouldn't be fuming.
Let's not discuss Southampton going on to 9 men. They were going to lose the game, whether it was by 9 or 8 or 7, count as far back as you want, they were going to lose the game. That's not what we're discussing here. Now, all of a sudden, for me, what Southampton are doing is making a play here to change the discussion around that drubbing. And I dare not say 9-0. They all of a sudden now, by making these protests and asking for these referees to be kept away, we're having discussions about the referees, the role they play, and whether going down to 9 men actually did change the game. Not the fact that they were, listen, yes, they were down to 10 after 90 seconds or whatever it was. That's on them. After that, the drubbing that they were in the midst of, that's on them. But having a discussion around the referees and the effect on the game, that's just the power play with this protest.
Thanks, Ale, Don. Thanks, Shaka, as well. Plenty more from that trio on Extra Time. The guys take your questions straight from Twitter.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Another Thursday, another thrilling installment of Shaka Hislop's Power Rankings. There you see Manchester City number one. And how about that? Shaka, using his Explorer hat recently, has discovered that there is football outside of Europe. What about that? Palmeiras into the top five. Shaka, of course, with us, as are Don and Alejandro. Shaka, why don't you walk us through your top 10?
Well, I had to go back to Google and redo my algorithm for my Power Rankings going forward, Sebi. So, hence the changes. Not a whole lot of changes, but a few changes. Top four remains the same. Bottom three remains the same. It's all in the middle there. Palmeiras, five. You win the Copa Libertadores, 2020 Libertadores, in 2021. That deserves a prize. Lille, after beating PSG to go top in Liga, in at six. And Olympiacos, in at seven. That's well done, Olympiacos. I think they've gone, 13 without a loss. That's impressive. There can be no arguing with my new algorithm. Courtesy of Shaq. Google.
Shaq. Just to let you know, Rangers Football Club are six wins away from winning the title in their eighth.
That's right, Don. I'm not sure what you want me to do with that information, but thank you very much.
Rise them up to about third or fourth. Eighth is too low.
No, I can't get third or fourth. Behave yourself. We just can't be third or fourth. I'm sorry, Don.
It's February, man. They're going to win the league in February.
The month didn't factor into my thinking, Don.
Ale, you know what I'm thinking here. I see Palmeiras in there, number five. I know they're playing Tigres in the FIFA Club World Cup. So Shaka's going to have to put, if Tigres win, a Mexican team into his power rankings for the first time ever.
I have no idea, Sebastian Salazar, how you made this about yourself. Okay? Let's focus on the power rankings and the rankings themselves. Shaka, I want you to save this segment for posterity. I want you to wrap it up and put it in a nice place in your house. I will not say a darn thing about this power rankings, because for the life of me, this is the first time that I can remember that you have, yes, acknowledged that indeed there is football outside of Europe, and indeed Palmeiras, having won Copa Libertadores, makes it into the top 10. Somehow we have a non-European team, a South American team, represented in the power rankings.
And so therefore, Shaka,
I think you got all of this right. You got all of this right, Shaka. Don't complain. You got all of it right.
Okay. It's not the first time I'm having a South American team in. I'm just saying.
That is true.
This season,
that is
maybe, true. But not the first time.
Okay. Right. Hey, baited into sort of putting Flamengo in, because you were getting a lot of love in social media from Brazilian fans and Flamengo fans, and so therefore they sort of butter your bread a little bit and they say, okay, Shaq, we'll give you some shark bait sandwiches or whatever, and then you put in Flamengo. That's why you put in Flamengo last time. You were bought out. This time came from the heart. I like that.
Who reminded you, Shaq? Who reminded you to put them in? That's what I want to know.
Huh?
Who reminded you to put Palmeiras in?
I reworked my algorithm, Don Hutchinson. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Hey, Shaq, I thought you were more partial to the quadratic equation, not to an algorithm. Why did you change?
I've gone high tech.
Yeah. All right, we've expired our math knowledge on this show for sure. I'm pretty sure that's the end of this segment. Boys, thank you very much. This crew will be back tomorrow for another edition of ESPNSC. Don't miss it for more high.
Yo, welcome.
Analysis.
Yo, welcome, everybody.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And that'll bring a close to this edition of ESPN FC. Thanks again to Herc. Thanks again to his former manager with the U.S. men's national team, Jürgen Klinsmann, who joined us earlier in the show. It's now Extra Time, featuring Don, Shaka, Ale, and your questions off Twitter. Enjoy. Hey there, everybody. Welcome into this edition of ESPN FC's Extra Time. I'm Sebastian Salazar. The giggles that you hear in the background are the gentlemen who will be joining us, Alejandro Moreno, Don Hutchison, Shaka Hislop. We've got your questions off Twitter. It has been, I have to tell you, a banner day technologically here in the ESPN FC studio. So I'll be reading to you these questions off a cell phone. Marandino asks, how much longer does Mourinho last at Tottenham? Does he make it to the end of the season? Don, what do you think?
Oh, I think Jose probably just lasts till the end of the season. But if they don't get top four and they don't win a trophy, I don't think some of the players last the start of next season. And I'm thinking Son and Harry Kane.
Shaka, it's just that, isn't it? You feel like, well, as long as there's a trophy still on the line, he may stick around. But things are going south in a hurry.
Yeah, they are. And they aren't playing well. To that point, Jose Mourinho, you bring Jose Mourinho in to win trophies. Not for attractive football. And that kind of is in Spurs DNA, the football that it's just disappeared all of a sudden. I don't see any change between now and the end of the season regardless. But if they don't deliver something, I'm not sure how long into next season he lasts.
Ale, it feels like a familiar script, doesn't it, with Mourinho? We've seen it at United, we saw it before Real Madrid. When he's unhappy, he doesn't last.
Right. Just take you back around Christmas time and all the excitement that there was around Spurs and, oh my goodness, we're winning a few games here. We're going to win the league. We're leading the league. Hey, Jose's got all the answers. And then reality set in and we find ourselves in a situation that it's almost a story of what might have been and what could have been about this season in the Premier League for Spurs, and they're hanging on to a trophy as a possibility for them to evaluate this as a successful season. I would say that you shouldn't quite hang on to that trophy, whatever that trophy may be, and say, well, this makes it successful. I don't know. I don't see a team that is getting better. I don't see a team that's taking a step forward. I don't see a team that is truly improving with every game that comes by. In fact, I see a team that is taking a step backwards. That reflects poorly on the players, but it certainly reflects poorly on Jose Mourinho.
They are currently in eighth. We're in first place in late 2020. They're just 1 point ahead of Aston Villa, who are in ninth with a game in hand. Next question, what percentage do you give Chelsea to make it into the top four under Thomas Tuchel? Don?
No, don't start with those percentages again. I was one of those that said Tottenham had a 50% chance of winning the league. 50% I give them. I got sucked in, like Ali said. I've seen them winning games 1-0. I've seen Harry Kane and Son topping the charts for goals and assists. And I've seen them being stubborn. I've seen them winning games 1-0 and 2-1s. And I thought they've got a bit of backbone about them. They could do something special. And then, as Ali said, they just drifted off. So odds on Chelsea getting top four, I think, in and around sort of about 15%, but it's just a wild guess because my man maths are terrible.
Yes, it is just a wild guess at the end of the day. Ale, has Antoine Griezmann finally turned a page in his, as our tweeter puts it, abysmal Barcelona career?
he's done a lot better over the last month or so, and so has Frenkie de Jong, and so have a lot of the players that were around Lionel Messi, and they need Antoine Griezmann to be at his very best because, well, it's a little bit of scoring by committee right now for Barcelona. If I can just for a second address the last question, I want to make sure that when Don is answering questions about Chelsea, he's not answering with his hand in his heart, touching Frank Lampard and thinking, you know, Frank is my boy. I have such a close relationship with Frank. And now Thomas Tuchel is here. And so whatever success comes from here on out, I'm going to sort of turn my back on that because Frank is no longer there. I'm just saying, we got to keep some sort of...
Frank will get the praise, Ali.
Okay. All right, I'm just making sure you take care of Frank.
When Tuchel wins the league next season, Frank put it all... He put all the plans in place.
Hey, man, it's good to have friends in the media. You know, that's part of the deal, too. Shaka.
Hey, hold on a second, Seb. It didn't help him this year. Don is not that heavy in the media, apparently, because it didn't help him this year.
Yeah, we need more people watching Extra Time, clearly. Shaka, we've talked about Jesse Lingard a little bit. Is Lingard's success attributed to the Manchester United connection he has with David Moyes? Ferguson had pointed out that Lingard would be a great player. Has it now become a reality, or is it too soon to say? Had a couple goals in his West Ham debut. Yeah, Shaka?
Yeah, I think we've always known that Jesse Lingard is a talented player. Clearly, he needed a wonderful team around him to be at his best. And he hasn't had that for a while. Up until now, Sammy. That's what it is. A good team. That's all. That's all.
Hey, it's a testament, by the way, to his professional. You know, it's a testament to how fit he's kept himself. When you think of Gareth Bale and him coming over and you think of Dele Alli and the problems that they've got, well, Jesse Lingard is a testament to how he's kept himself fit, not playing since the start of the season and not performing too many times. He's wafted straight into West Ham and looked unbelievable.
Guys,
stop being serious, Don. It's a testament to West Ham being a big club. That's all it
yes,
is.
Yes, Jack, you're right.
There you go.
Speaking of West Ham being a big club, Don predicted West Ham would be fifth last season, and they were fighting relegation. Shaka predicted West Ham would be fighting relegation this season, and they are now fifth. Who do they think will be fifth next season? Yes, Shaka, according to our viewers who are never wrong.
What?
I don't remember ever.
Shaka, you can't do that. Then you would just say you don't remember anything you've ever said on the show, and we would just have to take you at your word.
Well, that I'll have you know, that is very true.
No, you've been doing that this whole time.
you know me.
That is the only accurate thing Shaka has said today.
I've told you there would be fifth, Sebi. I just got my years mixed up.
Right. Of course. You were seeing into the future. We should give you a bonus pay for that.
Exactly.
Yep. After Ajax accidentally left Dallaire out of their Europa League squad, right? Record signing. They bring him in. Bureaucratic error. They leave him out of the Europa League squad. What was the biggest mistake that one of your club's hierarchy ever made? Ale, you played in MLS, so I feel like you probably got some good stories.
Oh, man. Well, I'll go back to having been part of the national team picture of Venezuela for many years, and many of those times I would have to be the translator between the national team coordinator and the representatives from our club team, wherever team that may have been. And there are many stories about that, but one that sticks out is the team here in MLS was trying to get confirmation from Venezuela as to what the dates were going to be and when I needed to be there and when I was going to be back. And they needed that in writing. And they're trying to get that communicated to the national team coordinator. And I'm telling this information to the national team coordinator and saying, okay, this is what they want. They want it now, so on and so forth. And we're on speaker right now, and it's the team president, general manager, and the coach, and me. And then on the other side, the national team coordinator for Venezuela. He starts walking away. He doesn't know he's on speaker. He starts walking away, complaining. And when I say complaining, is using very colorful, eclectic language, creative insults, if you will, about the very people that make decisions on a daily basis about me. And he's talking about the team president and the general manager and the team and this and that and the other. And I'm thinking to myself, my goodness, how do I get out of this situation? How am I supposed to keep these two worlds separate and when I need them to work together? I'm in the middle of it, and in the end, I was able to travel, but it's because nobody really understood what he was saying. That's how colorful the language was.
Awkward.
Yeah.
Awkward sounds for sure. Next question, did an animal ever invade the pitch while you were playing? Don.
Did an animal ever invade the pitch? I can't think, Sebby, I don't think so.
No?
It's a bit of a random one.
You'd have remembered something like that, Shaka, you don't remember anything.
No, I don't remember playing any game and an animal come on.
Ale, maybe I should ask the question I just asked you again. You played in MLS, surely you saw something.
I think a couple of years ago, wasn't there a duck at Real Salt Lake? I'm pretty sure there may have been a duck that it was included in my awards at some point. And by the way, what happened to the awards? Are they ever gonna come back?
I don't know. It's one of my favorite segments.
I kind of miss the awards.
I would look forward to it all the time, and you and me would get to hang out and even more than
If you need a good algorithm, Ali, if you need a good algorithm for the awards, just let me know.
High tech, Shaq. You know it and you love it.
The Ale's award budget went to Shaka's power rankings because it's so popular. Don, in your hatred.
Oh, well, that was money well spent.
Don, in your hatred of melted cheese, I didn't know this about you. Apparently, you hate melted cheese.
Yeah,
how does mac and cheese hold up? Macaroni and cheese?
No. Terrible. Terrible.
Really?
Just for the boys, for their information, I do like cheese. I do like a nice platter or a board of cheese, Shaq. But Ali, I can't stand if someone delivers a burger and the melted cheese goes over a burger and it's all soft and gooey and melty and terrible. I can't stand hot cheese.
What about pizza?
What about pizza? What? Yeah.
What?
Pizza, you heard of it?
Pizza.
Yeah, pizza's different because it's sort of mozzarella. It's not like horrible.
What is it? Is mozzarella not cheese?
Isn't it?
pizza's different because it's a triangle.
Cheese. That's not a cheese.
Pizza's different because it's round, Chuck.
Pizza's different because it's round and it comes in triangles and a box.
So, Don, apparently,
Sebby, someone jumped on this on social media on Twitter the other day when they seen Dan tweet about it, and a lot of people jumped on it and said, actually, I agree with Don, because when cheese is hot, it changes its substance, the molecules then change, and then it loses its taste. And I was like, yes, I knew I was right.
All right, that's it.
Can I ask a question? Are we getting a chemistry lesson from a man who can't spell ridiculous?
Yeah.
Is that what just happened?
Yeah.
Didn't we get a chemistry lesson from Don Hutchinson?
Yeah. Shaka, you won't remember this next week, Shaq, don't worry.
They didn't teach you that at NASA? When you melt the molecules change.
Hey, the same guy, we're taking advice from the same guy who prefers cold pizza to hot pizza. That's what we got.
And don't get me started, you two.
Well, you don't like melted cheese.
I do not want to hear any of you two saying you like pineapple on a pizza.
Oh, nothing wrong with pineapple on a pizza.
I don't like pineapple.
Nothing wrong with pineapple on
a pizza. I hate pineapple on a pizza.
Okay. Well, we'll agree to disagree.
All right, Shaq. Very, very definitive there, Shaq. I'm very angry about pineapple on pizza.
Yeah, let me tell you something.
Terrible.
Even if you put hot cheese on it, I'm not going to.
Great.
If you put hot cheese on a pineapple, I'm not eating.
Sebby will like it. Sebby definitely likes pineapple on a pizza.
Oh, you know it. That's one of my favorites. The first thing I ask for.
Are you telling me that Don doesn't like a big pile of nachos with hot cheese and salsa and all that stuff? He hates that, huh?
No, Ali, no.
Oh, he's cringing. Look at him. He's cringing. He's cringing. It makes him sick. Just look at it. Look at him. All right, boys. Enough talk of melted
cheese.
Melted pizza. Anything else that's been melted? Ale, Shaka, Don, thanks for the time. We'll be back for more Cheese Talk on tomorrow's edition of ESPN FC. Looking ahead to the weekend.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.